music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
As Janet Jackson has kicked off her much-awaited Unbreakable World Tour, and with news that her brand new album of the same name will drop on October 2nd, we've decided to honor Miss Jackson by speaking with Mike Litherland, founder of Induct Janet, an initiative to get Janet Jackson into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We also chat with filmmaker Junior Hubbard as he prepares to produce a documentary about the Janet fan community known as the J Tribe and Jan Fam, and how devoted they are to Janet's music, dance, and artistry. We're very excited to get this next topic on the show. If you enjoy music, this is probably something that will play close to your heart, especially if you are a fan of Janet Jackson. We talked to Mike Litherland, the founder of Induct Janet, an initiative to get Janet Jackson into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mike, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Well, thank you very much, Kelly. I like that. Founder of Induct Janet.
It's very good. So we're very happy to have you on the show because, you know, we're going to talk about Janet. I know a lot of my listeners know that I'm a huge fan, so that's not a surprise. But we are going to delve into, I think, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame process a little bit as well, because there's a lot of curious choices that don't make it and don't make even the nomination list. So we're going to get into that as well. But first of all, you know, how long have you been a Janet Jackson fan?
You know, I've been a Janet Jackson fan for the majority of my life. You know, as a young kid, I kind of fell in love with some of the early works of Janet, the first album, Janet Jackson, Young Love. You know, I was quite young and fan of Michael Jackson, so I knew she was Michael Jackson's little sister. Then Control came out in 1986, and, you know, that's when the world took notice, including myself. And, you know, I've been hooked ever since, just kind of watching her every move and her own evolution over time and, you know, changing and reinventing herself. It's just amazing. I've been a fan ever since.
Now, how did you decide to, you know, start this movement, Induct Janet, to get her into the Rock Hall of Fame?
I'm a music lover at heart. So I paid close attention to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame kind of from the beginning. I'm also from Ohio, so, you know, the hall's in Cleveland, and I've visited it several times. And Janet she's been eligible for the Hall of Fame since 2007, and she's never been nominated. So each year that the nominations came out, I would get a little bit frustrated and increasingly frustrated with each passing year when she wasn't on the ballot. So about 2.5 years ago, I just started tinkering with a Facebook page to support a nomination, and it kind of quietly started to take off. And I was like, wow, you know, this movement may actually work, and we might be able to make some noise and raise some awareness here, and here we are today. So still no nomination, but things are looking very, very good.
Now, can you talk to us a little bit about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and how it actually works to get an artist in? Because I think, you know, for people that don't pay attention, I think we just think, oh, you know, ooh, somebody nominates them. But, like, how does the nomination committee work? You know, who's on it? I know it changes year to year, but, you know, has that played a part in why certain artists make it on and others don't?
Yeah, it seems to be a very political process. First and foremost, an artist becomes eligible 25 years after their first recording. So you've got to have a lengthy career, and you've got to be a true, legit artist. So that's probably the biggest piece of the puzzle. Historically, there's been anywhere from 35 to 40 individuals that make up the nomination committee, and they're all walks of life. You know, you've got a handful of the younger generation represented, but then you've got some of the old school Motown, R&B acts, and some of the people on the committee have been there for 15, 20 years. They operate out of the Rolling Stone offices in New York City. They meet annually, and it's actually kind of timely that we're doing this interview because they meet each September. So maybe they'll be listening.
We'll try.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, each individual comes in with their list of a couple of artists, I've heard up to three, that they can kind of champion. And then they start hashing it out and, you know, crossing people off the list. And obviously you've got folks that are the favorites, and then you've got some folks that not like a certain artist and don't want them in. So it just depends on who's the most persuasive and has the most power, if you will. And with each year, you know, with the batch of newly eligible artists, it's very interesting to see if that new batch, you know, if they can get on the ballot first year of eligibility, because it's kind of tough. And a lot of the no-brainers, if you will, like you know, some of the artists that have recently been inducted, like say of Nirvana, there was no surprise that they were going to be on the ballot, no surprise that they're going to get inducted that first year just because of the impact that they had and how huge they were. So this year it's a little bit different, and we can talk about some of the newly eligibles if you'd like, but you know, there's not really a slam dunk no-brainer. So we'll see if, you know, the ballot is something that's predictable or if it's, you know, going to have some surprises. Usually each year there's a couple surprises.
Joining us on the show is Mike Litherland. He is the founder of Induct Janet, an initiative to get Janet Jackson into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, again, we're going to focus on Janet, but also on other artists. And I did want to ask you, because you just mentioned, like, some people are a slam dunk, like the Nirvanas of the world, you know, Michael Jackson, so on and so forth. To me, Janet is a slam dunk. And I've gotten into arguments with a few of my friends and colleagues that I work with in Radioland over this, because while everyone appreciates what Janet has done, some of them feel like, yeah, but, you know, she's Michael Jackson's younger sister, and, you know, it is what it is, but she's not really, like, a game changer. And I'm like, Janet is so amazing and so powerful, I almost feel like she can sort of, you know, she's almost like, to me, she's like a ninja. Like, she can just, she does what she does, and but doesn't need to make a lot of noise about it. And I don't know if that's part of why certain people don't view her as a slam dunk like a Madonna, because I've really gotten into lots of arguments with people about Madonna versus Janet. And obviously Madonna is in the Hall of Fame. And people are like, oh, Madonna, you know, did this, that, and something else. And she really changed the way pop music was looked at and all that sort of stuff. But so has Janet. So what Absolutely. Do you think is the reason why Janet is having problems, if you will, getting in? Is it because she's like this undercover ninja that people don't, you know, she's not loud and abrasive, I guess is what I'm saying.
That's a very good question. And, you know, Janet is quite humble and, you know, would probably prefer to fly beneath the radar. And I'll be honest, Kelly, that's kind of why I started this campaign, to champion for her and to make that noise and remind everybody of Janet's legacy. And, hey, don't forget about all these hits. And, you know, you mentioned Madonna. She became eligible the same year that Janet did, mm-hmm. and they nominated Madonna right out of the gate, and then she was ushered in and inducted immediately. That's great. You know, Madonna's a fantastic artist and definitely worthy, but so is Janet. If you stack the two side by side, it's pretty equal. Mm-hmm. And the impact Janet's had on the world of pop and R&B and dance, it's just as impressive. You know, Janet changed the game many, many times. And to your point, I just don't think she gets the credit that's truly due. And something else that's worth noting, Michael Jackson had to wait a few years as well. He was not a first ballot inductee. He had to wait 4 years.
Wow.
So, think about that. I mean, it's very interesting.
Yeah, and it's funny because with Janet, like, you know, Rhythm Nation was so powerful. You know, and I definitely think anybody that I've ever talked to, that was a definite game changer. And when you talk to sort of the current crop of pop stars now and even a little bit older, like, you know, we can talk about the Rihannas of the world, but even like, you know, the Britneys, I think the Britney generation was very much influenced by Janet. And you know what I also find interesting about Janet is that no matter what background you come from, whether you're white, black, brown, purple, yellow, like it doesn't matter, Janet has street cred with all of us, whereas other artists don't have that. Like, I don't think other artists are as universally loved and adored like Janet.
That's very, very true. If you go to a Janet Jackson show, you'll see kids, you'll see adults, you'll see grandmothers, grandparents, all walks of life. You know, like you said, white, black, brown, purple, straight, gay, every single facet under the rainbow is represented, and you know, truly adore her, and you can just feel it. Her impact is huge, so it really is a head scratcher here. It just doesn't make sense, but I tell you that the momentum, you can kind of just feel it. Something seems a little bit different this year, probably with Janet's return to the scene, mm-hmm. getting all kinds of buzz. You know, the first single, quite an R&B hit, didn't really touch the pop charts. Probably expected because she is 49 and pop radio tends to shy away from older artists in general.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how these, you know, the next couple of singles do, but you know, the tour is doing great. And I really think that they're going to take notice hopefully, you know, hopefully some eyes will be opened. One other thing I wanted to mention, too, about the nomination process. Earlier this year, there were some cuts made on the nomination committee. There were either 13 or 14 of the members were asked to basically not come back. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that all shakes out. You know, they're pretty hush-hush on their process, and they're pretty hush-hush on who the members are. We can always find out, you know, through usually Rolling Stone magazine or some other publications. But they're pretty tight-lipped. But I go to various sites. I'll plug one of them now, Future Rock Legends. It's a pretty awesome site where you can delve into all things about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and who's in, who's out. You can vote for various artists, and they always list who the nomination committee members are for the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's, you know, any music junkies or people that want to brush up on it, that's a great site. So yeah, with the committee being a little bit different this year, we'll have to see how it all shakes out when they announce the ballot in a couple months.
So, Mike, talk to us about Induct Janet and where you've gotten it. Like, I know you have a lot of support from the Janet community, but when it comes to the Rock Hall being aware of you and your initiative, where are we at?
You know, it's really interesting. You know, obviously, the members of the Janet family, Janet community, you know, they jumped on board very quickly, and it kind of spread organically in that regard. But I've even gotten some support from folks that, you know, maybe aren't even fans of Janet Jackson, but they so appreciate the cause that they've kind of pitched in and, you know, started following and spreading, if you will. And they're kind of cheering for us, which I think is really, really cool. So, you know, there's a camp of the true rock and roll diehards that, you know, it's just an old man with an electric guitar. That's all that should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because it's rock music.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much more than that, though. You know, rock and roll originated from blues and from rhythm and blues. So, you know, it's really, it just makes sense that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame would be all musical genres, and it's represented quite well. So some of those, you know, naysayers, if you will, they just need to bite the bullet and come to grips with reality, because, you know, the hip hop artists are now getting in, and, you know, that really, really ticks some people off because they just don't think they belong, but there's enough for everybody. So the campaign itself, you know, as it started to grow with momentum, I drafted an open letter to the nomination committee and sent it electronically throughout the social media sphere. The nomination committee does not have an email address. They do have a physical mailing address, like I mentioned. They all get together the month of September. They're meeting now, I think, actually. So there's a snail mail address that myself and some of the other members that are fighting on the campaign have, you know, mailed in letters. It seems so archaic, though, but
mm-hmm.
The committee chairman, they say that they read those things, though, and take them to heart, but, you know, who knows?
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is Mike Litherland, again, founder of Induct Janet, an initiative to get Miss Janet Jackson into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mike, in your travels and research, with other artists that have either tried to get in or I shouldn't say try to get in, but, you know, have had the opportunity, is there any sort of backdoor campaigning that goes on? Like, I know you talked about some of the nomination committee, like they may have their favorites that they try to push, but do you know of any artists that actually have like some sort of subtle campaign that maybe the public wouldn't know about?
You mean that maybe aren't in?
Yeah, that have like tried to get, you know, noticed and awareness and you know, like is there any sort of, you know, way that an artist would be trying to get in? You know, I know it's an honor, right? So I don't think people are actively chasing it necessarily, but obviously
sure.
It gives you, you know, street cred to get in there and to have that honor attached to your name. So I'm just wondering if in all of your research and all of your, you know, travels of you know, trying to help Janet get in, do you ever know of artists that are just trying on some subtle way to sort of know or be at the top of the list?
Yeah, one good example I would think would be Kiss, who obviously, you know, epic rock and roll band.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them years and years and years to get in. Apparently, one of the founders that's, you know, pretty high up on the nomination committee, his name is Jan Wenner, and he used to run Rolling Stone magazine. I'm not really sure what his title is now, but apparently he couldn't stand the band. And a couple of the others on the committee were with him. So, you know, they would refuse to allow, you know, Kiss to be on the ballot. It was just a no-brainer. They were not going to allow them. Well, they finally got on the ballot. through some persuasion and persistence, and then lo and behold, they're inducted in as soon as they're on the ballot. So I don't know what the resistance is with some bands. You know, it's personal favoritism. It's all subjective. And I think that's kind of why the whole process gets a bit of a bad rap, because, again, it is. It's just people in the community, the music business, that hash out these artists and start crossing them off the list. But there's so many that are deserving, and there's quite a backlog. It's really interesting. Then you've got a band like Chic from the disco era that they continue to put on the ballot. This will be their 10th nomination if they're on the ballot this year, and all signs are pointing to a yes. But the voting community just does not put them in. So it gets a little frustrating for somebody like me to see Chic, who, again, they're deserving, don't get me wrong, but year after year after year, they take up a slot on that ballot of only 16 names, and they're not getting in. So I just wish that the nomination committee would give it a rest and, you know, keep Chic off the ballot maybe once and give somebody else a shot.
Can you talk to us a little bit about vocalists? Because, you know, I know you and I had sort of talked before this interview that some vocalists, it's not really a singer's room, if I can call it that. Because I know, you know, it took forever for Donna Summer to get in there. I know she finally was inducted after she passed away. Whitney Houston's not in there.
Right.
I think you'd sent me a note saying Mariah Carey is actually eligible this year. But it's interesting to me to think that some of these artists, like, I know Mariah's only, you know, sort of eligible this year, but Whitney also seems like a no-brainer to me.
No, I agree. I agree. I think with the case of Whitney, the fact that she wasn't heavily involved in the creative aspects and, you know, the writing, that's probably the biggest challenge with getting Whitney on the ballot.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, you know, this is, I don't know how to say this sensitively, but with her passing, if, you know, if that didn't propel a nomination, then I think Whitney's probably going to be waiting a while, which it's a shame because she's definitely worthy. And then, you know, the same case with Janet. Obviously, Janet doesn't have the pipes that Whitney does, but, you know, Janet was heavily involved in the songwriting from 1986 with Control, and then with each passing album, even, you know, she had more of a hand in the creativity and the concepts, and very heavily involved. And, you know, I think that's marginalized quite a bit. I think people think that, oh, it's just Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, and they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're awesome, don't get me wrong. But Janet brings a lot to the table, too, that I don't think maybe the general public gives her enough credit for.
Yeah, that really annoys me, Mike. Like, I don't know. It sounds like it really bothers you. And that's been my position for years. Like, I've gotten into so many, you know, deep discussions and arguments with people that, you know, try to poo-poo Janet, again, as Michael's little sister and riding off the coattails. And I'm like, how can you say that all these years later? You can't say that. Like, arguably, she had a better 90s decade than he did. You know, not even arguably, she did. So it really frustrates me. Just even like, and I know I get nailed all the time for somebody saying, oh, you're just biased. You're so biased because you just love her so much. But I'm like, I can also see as a third person, like, look at all of her hits. Look how much she's done with social awareness and problems around the world and getting people to recognize that things need to change, and then she can flip the script and go do a love song, and people, you know, buy into that because it's so amazing. So, you know, it's really frustrating on my end to see that she's been disregarded. Do you have any clue how she feels about this? Like, because you've been working on this for a couple of years now, have you ever been, you know, contacted by her camp at all? Or, like, do you know how she feels about the situation? I know she's very humble, so I can't imagine her championing herself, but what do you think?
Right, right. You know what? I would hope that she's aware. In my heart, I know she is, but no, I've not been officially contacted. Maybe someday, you know, that would be great. I'd love to be standing there, you know, wherever the ceremony is. If she does get nominated and inducted, I'd love to be there. You know, I'd be so proud. And really, I just want this for her because she's so deserving. She's definitely on Twitter. You know, she constantly says, you know, I've been listening, I've been watching. So I know she's aware, but she's just, you know, super, super quiet about it and you know, humble, and lets those of us that are on the periphery, I guess, be the ones that are loud and raising the awareness.
Mm-hmm. I just think she's the coolest person. Like, I love her to bits, and I'm so happy that she's back and doing what we need her to do. And she was so missed by, I think, not only her hardcore fans, but just the music industry in general. I think we need a Janet Jackson. We need the Janet Jackson to come back. So I think this is fantastic. And how can people get involved and help you, Mike, spread the word about trying to get Janet into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
There's a couple of ways that you can join the fight, if you will. We're on Twitter, @InductJanet, all together. And then on Facebook, if you just search for Induct Janet, the first link there should be our Induct Janet Facebook page. And yeah, get involved. And, you know, there's various websites that you can learn about from the Facebook page where you can support Janet and leave comments and just try to get involved, because really that's all it's about. This little movement too, you know, something I'm proud of. We're getting a little bit of mention in some of the blogosphere and some of the music publications that the campaign is doing things the right way. A lot of the fan campaigns kind of take a negative spin,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they refer to the Hall of Fame as the Hall of Shame or the Hall of Lame because XYZ artist isn't in, and you know, they're really hateful and just completely negative. And we've taken a totally different approach. You know, we're not belittling anybody or making fun of the nomination committee or hating on them. They have a tough job, and you know, it would be very, very difficult. But all we're here to do is champion Janet's legacy and her career, and it remind them why she needs to be on the ballot, because it's time,
mm-hmm.
it's overdue, and Janet truly deserves it. So hopefully, again, I'm crossing my fingers and I'm cautiously optimistic that this is the year.
My hope is on Questlove. I feel like if anyone's going to get her in, it's going to be him. So I am hoping.
No, you're right about that, Kelly. And I'll tell you, I think this is his third year being on the committee, and he's the man that got Hall & Oates on the ballot and
nice.
Inducted. He's the man that got Bill Withers on the ballot and inducted. So you're absolutely right. Let's hope that Janet's on his short list. I've also heard that Questlove is in big support of Sonic Youth.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. And also, of course, you know, NWA, LL Cool J, and A Tribe Called Quest, who is eligible this year, that, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with hip hop, because NWA, they've been nominated a couple of different times. I think they're worthy, and yes, they're very polarizing,
mm-hmm.
but that biopic that came out and has done so, so well just kind of elevates them a little that
yep.
I think with them being on the ballot this year, they'll probably get in, but it'll be curious to see if there's another rap act as well, or if the nomination committee will kind of keep a clear path to make sure that NWA gets in by not having another rap artist.
Here's a question for you. I'm not sure. I'm sure you can answer it, although I didn't ask you this in advance. Is George Michael ever being considered?
He's eligible, but no. Let me see if...
Because I love him, and I think a lot of people do. And I know he's sort of had a bit of a, you know, an up-and-down career, at least in the last decade, where we haven't seen much of him. But he seems like to have had such an influence, obviously, with Wham, and then as a solo artist, especially in those early 90s, and then even into the 2000s. So I would hope that he would get a shot at this as well.
Yeah, he's been eligible since 2012, never nominated. But yeah, again, I think he's definitely worthy. You know, think back to the Faith era, you know, how huge that was.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, you know, in 1990, what was it, Listen Without Prejudice,
yep.
I think, was
yep.
the album, and Freedom, and it was pretty huge. And, you know, he puts on a great show, writes his own stuff. But yeah, the last couple of years, it's been kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that if an artist is huge and then they kind of fade away,
yeah,
it's hard for the nomination committee to keep that top of mind,
right.
Which kind of is why I think this, again, Janet's got some momentum coming back with new music and a new album. And
mm-hmm. we'll and everybody see, but... feels so, like, I feel like the general vibe is that everybody, like everybody, is happy that Janet is back.
I agree. It's definitely changed, you know, post Super Bowl. I hate to even bring that up.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool to tear Janet down, make fun of Janet. It just kind of seemed to be the thing to do.
Yeah.
Everyone bashing Janet. It's not like that anymore.
No.
You know, people are coming out of the woodwork and support. You're seeing all kinds of articles all over the place.
Yeah.
Social media.
Yeah.
I think people are rooting for her again and hoping for a comeback.
Yeah. Even the dude from TMZ. Did you see that the other day? What's his name? Harry?
Did.
He's got like a love on for Janet. It's awesome.
Totally. Yeah. Areas that you wouldn't expect, which is
yeah.
really, really cool.
And it was funny too when when she got honored at the BET Awards, you know, I watched a lot of that pre-show, and so many artists, again, even younger ones that you wouldn't expect maybe that would view Janet still as high as, like, again, that Britney generation. They were all talking about her, you know. So it's just so great, because I feel like she's transcending decades now. Like, there's just, like, you could be 3 and love her, and 53 and you love her. So it's fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And influence on a different generation. That's a huge criteria for the committee and for the Hall of Fame. And my gosh, you know, if you think about Janet Jackson, and dozens and dozens, maybe even hundreds of artists would say that Janet is a huge career influence. And we're talking female artists, male artists, and even groups.
Yes.
So many cite Janet as a major influence. So that says quite a bit.
Yeah, well, I am so proud of you, Mike, because I just think that you're championing her cause and you're getting the word out there. And again, my hat's off to you and all of your supporters as well, who have tried to get the word out. And now we're happy to try to help you get the word out even further. So thank you for spending time with us. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Kelly. It was really nice of you, and I'm happy to do it.
Excellent. That is Mike Litherland, again, the founder of Induct Janet, an initiative to get Janet Jackson into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And you can do your part by checking out Mike's Facebook page. Again, you just go into the search bar and search Induct Janet. And, of course, you can follow them on Twitter, at Induct Janet.
What's up, girl?
He stood me up again.
Again?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's up with this guy? Do you really like him that much?
Yes, honey. I love him. He is fine. He does a lot of nice things for me.
I know he used to do nice stuff for you, but what has he done for you lately?
Seem to think that you're so bitchy.
the Kelly Alexander Show. Like us on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show.
Here on the Kelly Alexander Show, we enjoy seeing artists working hard on their craft and making a difference. We're very happy to welcome a very creative young man to the program, Junior Hubbard, who is a filmmaker and is working on a very special documentary. He just launched a Kickstarter campaign to help fund his new project called J-Tribe, Jan Fam, The Movement, a documentary about the passionate fans of Janet Jackson. Junior, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, Kelly, how's it going?
Very well, and we're very excited to have you on the show. Now, all of my listeners that are, you know, currently listening right now, they all know I have a special place in my heart for Janet, so they are probably not surprised that I'm going to have you on the show. So first of all, before we get talking about this Kickstarter campaign and the documentary, what does Janet Jackson actually mean to you?
Oh my gosh. In one sentence? Oh gosh, this is hard to answer. Janet Jackson, she means, I guess, the world. She's been like the blueprint for my life so far. It's been a long journey. I guess my mother knew what she was doing when she was having me because I was born a day after her. I was born on May 17th.
Okay.
And I guess we just had that connection. The first album I was given was Rhythm Nation. The first thing I saw was a short film, and I became hooked. At 2 years old, I was like, what is this? Who is this person, and why are they amazing? And I've just been down that journey ever since Rhythm Nation came out. I've been following everything from the videos, the concerts, the dancers, and it just, you know, it made me realize that, you know, maybe I can do something like that in the future. And I guess I'm doing that now. I'm trying to live out my dream with this Kickstarter and, you know, me doing videos for Janet and for the fans. I just feel like this is, you know, a dream in the making.
What project, I know you said Rhythm Nation was the first sort of, I guess, album that came your way. So that was your first sort of initiation to Janet. And I know it's going to be really hard for you to probably answer this question, but is there a particular song and or album that, like, just, you know, speaks to you the most? I know everything speaks to you, but is there a song that really speaks to you the most or an album?
I think The Knowledge. The Knowledge means a lot to me because it talks about education, things that are going on around the world. And I was always a good student, and I always remembered that song because I remember at the end of the short film, those two girls that were dropping out of high school, and that song meant a lot to them, and I was inspired by that at a young age. So I took that song and always, you know, kept my head in the books and, you know, did well in school. So that song meant a lot to me as far as education. But dance-wise, it was just unheard of. Like, the music was different. The video, you know, that little piece in the short film, it was funky. It was hard-hitting. And I was like, yeah, I want to do that when I go on.
I think it's so great when Janet fans sort of reminisce and let us know or let their friends know what Janet piece of art, you know, stuck out the most. And I think it's funny because you mentioned The Knowledge, that being so important. I remember those two girls as well when they gave Janet their graduating 90 tassels, and then she gave them back to them a little while later at the award show, I believe it was the NAACP Awards. And it's funny because the thing that always sticks out to me from Janet is when on her Rhythm Nation documentary, she always said that dreams do come true, but you can't just sit there and wait for them to happen. You have to make them happen. And I feel like that's what you're doing with this project.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, you totally like just tapped into my brain. I was just going to say that.
Awesome. Very good. Well, you and I already off to a great start. I feel like we're connected people, so this is good. So, you know, I wanted to obviously bring forth your project to the Jan Fam, as we call them, and the J Tribe, the new word for the Janet family, because a lot of, you know, Janet fans listen to the show, which we're very fortunate to have, and we appreciate all of the support. Why did you decide to produce a documentary about Janet Jackson's fan community?
Well, the idea changed me. I met a lot of fans on Facebook from the videos I did previously, and I've grown a strong connection with them, and I've seen that they are truly talented themselves. Like, some do art, some are singers, some do music, and I was like, this needs to be seen, not just, you know, for me, but for the world, because, you know, Janet inspires everybody, you know, including myself, and I wanted to do something different this time and focus the direction on the fans. You know, you have the diehard fans that buy all the memorabilia, the ones who have, you know, the posters in the room, kind of like that guy in the Go Deep video. I wanted to capture that, but in real time, you know, with a large audience. And I noticed that a lot of, you know, fans are dancers. Some of them are truly talented. Some of them are amazing choreographers. And I just wanted to provide a platform for everybody to see that, you know. And I feel like Janet needs to see this as well because, you know, she deserves everything, you know. She's, you know, had a long career, and, you know, I've never seen a documentary on the fans for Jen. I've seen it for Michael and different other artists, but Jen, I've never seen that. And I was like, let me try to do something different for the fans for once, and bring them all together.
And what do you want people to take away from the film in the grand scheme? Because obviously a lot of hardcore Janet fans, as I call them, are obviously going to want to watch this. So for them and for the casual observer, what do you want them to take away from what you're about to produce?
That it's the artist can only do so much. But I think with her body of work, it shows that not only just her music, but her character, her legacy inspires everybody. And I want people to take that, she's a regular person just like us, I know that there's a celebrity aspect of things and there's also a human aspect of things. And I want people to see that, both sides coincide with each other. And I want people to realize that, she is, a legend. And this is what happens when you have a long career, 30 plus years, and this is how you affect people. And I want people to see that, it's not about gimmicks, it's her true artistry. That inspires a lot of people, and I just want the world to see that, she's amazing. And her fans are dope, too,
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is filmmaker Junior Hubbard. Junior, can you explain how the Kickstarter campaign came about and what Janet fans can do to help?
I was having a conversation with a fan. He's actually a good friend of mine. I'm not going to name drop him. I kind of want to make him embarrassed. But he was sending me his artwork. I'm like, yo, bro, this needs to be seen, And I was just like, okay, I wonder if other people would do something like this. So I just started, asking certain people, if I made a film, would you be a part of it? You don't have to say anything. Maybe show your collection or maybe talk about how she's inspired you. And a lot of people like, yeah, I'll do it. So I was like, okay, let me see if I can develop some type of campaign where I can get everybody involved. Regarding the campaign, I know the crowdfunding is for 10,000, but I figured that her fan base is really large, and even one person just donated $1 would mean a whole difference to the whole campaign.
And what can Janet fans do to help? Then obviously they can donate, and what else do you want them to do? Because it sounds like you really want this, even though you're producing it, it sounds like you really want this to be like a community type project in a way.
If anybody who wants to participate, they can go on the Facebook page, the group page for the documentary. They could send their pictures, tell a personal story, share their dance moves with everybody, because anything, contributing to the film will help, the dollar amount will be fine, but if you want to contribute, like your artwork or anything that's personal to you that's generated, that would mean the world to me.
Perfect. And so people can actually get to the Facebook page by going to obviously facebook.com, and then in the search bar you would type in JTribe/JanFam, and obviously the page will come up. And then you can also donate to the Kickstarter campaign by going to kickstarter.com and then putting in the search bar JTribe/JanFam, the movement. Right, Junior?
Yes.
Now, also, what will contributors, if they donate a dollar amount to you, what will they walk away as a reward for donating to your Kickstarter campaign?
For a dollar, I'll, give them a personal shout out on the group page. With the Kickstarter campaign, there's different awards, like for the $25 awards. I'm making this shirt that has, the iconic Keaton bonus that's JTribe, JanFam, the movement. And that's what I was going to do throughout the documentary. Every fan that I meet, I was going to give them a shirt and make it more personal to them, because I do appreciate them taking the time out to interview or report me and, have me, document their experiences, with Janet and what makes them, excited about the show. So I wanted to give that away as well. But, if you contribute a dollar, I'll give you a shout out on the Kickstarter page as well as the Facebook page. Also, I'll send you a personal message and, ask questions as well. I want everybody that contributes to feel a part of the magic I want to create with this documentary.
Now, do you plan to interview any of, Janet's team at all? Or, is this really strictly fan-based? Like, you want to sort of show, how Janet's, again, fan base is just its own thing? Because I think every artist has, their own vibe, I guess, when it comes to their fans. So is this your way of really sort of showcasing the vibe of the Janet family?
Correct. Yes, I wanted to showcase the whole vibe of it, the good stuff, the bad stuff, on social media. Before, the album was released, before the single was released, you had, the group of fans that were speculating and all the rumors. I want to show all of that because I was there throughout, even though I was staying quiet. But I want to showcase that, it was, reality. It's what was happening. And, I just want to show all that stuff. There's good things about, fans. And there's also, the crazy part of things where people are, a little fanatical and But, you know, I'll get into that in the documentary. But, you know, I just want to keep it as organic as possible mm-hmm. and also create some type of level of entertainment where everybody can enjoy it.
Now, a lot of people, I think, underestimate the importance of Janet Jackson. What do you think she actually brings to the entertainment industry?
Oh, my gosh. You want to answer that in one sentence? I could do like a whole...
You can give me a paragraph if you'd like.
She can just stand there for 20 minutes, not even say anything, and people will just be like, wow. She just has that star power. For me growing up, I noticed that she didn't need, you know, a whole group of dancers, even though she had them. She could stand on stage by herself and just rock it, and everything about her just meant, like, you know, this is how you do things. Like, even her hair, the way she whips her hair had its own choreography. I'm like, wow, mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like this, you know? Like, there's certain things that Janet does that another artist couldn't even duplicate. Like, for instance, when she does, like, that little thigh shimmy and when she's, you know, snapping her fingers, in my perception, I figured that was her way of revving up her energy to you know, knock out some killer choreography. And then she does it, and I'm just like, wow, you know, that's how you're supposed to do things. And I see her as a blueprint for other artists on how to have a successful career.
How much did you miss her when she was gone, you know, for the last couple of years? Because, you know, the last time we all sort of saw her was when she did the up close and personal tour in 2011. And then she does what she always does, which is kind of go away between projects. But this time was mm-hmm. different. Like, she really went away.
Oh, wow. It was kind of like, well, one of my friends called it, it's kind of like Janet crack. Like, you want to know everything. You want to, you know, be addicted to it. And when she went away, I was like, dang, I hope my homegirl comes back, because it was, I felt that void in the music industry, because I noticed everything was trendy and I just needed something to wake me up from our reality. And then when she dropped that single, I was like, wow, like, it was a true game changer. So yeah, I was heavily missing, you know, that artistry from her. Because, you know, you have, you know, certain female artists that come along and they do the same thing, but it was just, it's missing Janet. The world was missing Janet. I was missing Janet. So, you know, when she had the little announcement, I just freaked out. I was like, wow.
And do you feel like, you know, because I know you've listened to some of the interviews I've done with some of her former dancers, and I asked them, you know, does the music industry need Janet to come back? And obviously now she's back, like the album's about to drop soon, and of course the tour's already underway. How much did, like, the pop landscape need Janet Jackson to come back in 2015?
In my opinion, I think that the music industry should be very scared of Janet's comeback, because she doesn't have a label, you know, that's, you know, working above her. She is her own label. So now she's calling the shots. And she's doing all these amazing things without any promotion, any, you know, live television appearances or interviews. And it's just amazing how her artistry and her brand, just alone her name, you know, and her legacy can contribute all this and, you know, have all these, you know, number one hits on Billboard and have all these accolades and sold out shows, so that, you know, the music industry should take a lesson from her. And be like, wow, that's how you do things now, you know, because the old formula wasn't working. And Janet just recreated the whole wheel.
What do you
and not even saying a word.
What do you think Janet feels towards, as I call them, her hardcore fans? Because obviously she has a lot of people, if I can call them fair weather fans, you know, that when a single comes out or whatever, they're like, oh, she's here, I love her, like, woo. But then there's like, who you've been talking about, the J Tribe / Jan Fam, who've been there for years. When she's dormant, they're still sort of just waiting for her. So what do you think Janet feels towards her hardcore fans? Because, you know, when she did announce that she was coming back, she said, I've been listening.
Oh, I guess she felt, you know, what we all were feeling, that we were missing her. And I guess I don't, it's hard to answer that, because I know she feels the love, because with the reviews from the shows, I know it means a lot to her, because, you know, we haven't seen her perform live in, what, 3 or 4 years?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And to come back and get all that love, you know, not even have an official album out and have everybody, you know, give you that love that, you know, we've been missing. Like, I feel like, you know, she needed that. She deserved everything. She deserves everything, you know? She doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. So with the hardcore fans, it's just like that big family again, you know, where everybody's coming back and supporting her.
I know you mentioned off the top that you would hope that, you know, Janet's going to see the documentary when it's going to be completed. So first question is, when do you expect to have the documentary completed? And then second of all, how will it feel to know, you know, if you can imagine, because I know it hasn't happened yet, but if you can imagine what it will feel like knowing that Janet has watched your documentary.
Oh, wow. So the first question, when is it going to be completed? Well, I know the second leg ends in March. So if she does decide to do a third leg, I may have to postpone it so I can get, you know, more fans interviewed and more footage of the shows and different little elements. But I'm slating to have this done by May.
Okay. So May of 2016.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then, again, what will it feel like if you can imagine knowing that, you know, Janet has, you know, listened to your documentary? Because, see, in my position, I'm hoping that she's heard some of the interviews I've done. I feel like maybe she has, but I don't know for sure. But, like, thinking, like, in my shoes, thinking that she's actually listened to, for example, my interview with Tina Landon, it's almost like it's too much for me to comprehend. So how would it feel to you knowing that she has, you know, will watch your documentary?
Oh, my gosh. I will probably, like, do maybe 10 backflips on that because I don't even know how I would even react. I'll probably just scream, and my mom's like, what is wrong with you, boy? You know, she's probably like, what is wrong? You know, I don't even have the words for it. If she watches, like, that would mean the world to me. But I know she's been listening to your show. I have a feeling that she has because some of her dancers are still close with her, and I think that she knows what's going on.
Well, some people have said that to me, so it's funny because I have, it's like an internal protection device. It's like I won't let myself think she's actually listened to anything, but hopefully she has, because as you know, we have lots of love for her here on the show, so it's amazing. We have lots of love for you because I think it's fantastic that you've decided to undertake this venture, because I know you've got a lot of work ahead of you, and we're happy to get the word out for you as much as possible. And before I let you go, what final message do you have to the Janet fans? What do you want to leave them with to inspire them to, you know, really come together and support this project and what you're doing for the Janet community?
I'm just like you guys, you know, it just all started out with a thought and a dream, and I'm trying to make it happen, you know, with the help of you guys. And just any little thing, you know, can help, you know, means a lot to me, whether it's a video or a message or any advice or any questions you want me to ask. Like, I just want the Janet family to know that I'm here for them and this is all for them. Because I think, you know, without us, you know, Janet, I mean, without us, Janet wouldn't be at that level. But I feel like with us, we can keep her at number one where she belongs. And I feel like, you know, if we have this documentary as a treasure piece, you know, for future generations, we can set the tone for, you know, how things should go.
Awesome. Well, Junior, first of all, I send you the biggest hug and I send you the biggest high five from Montreal to where you are in Florida. So all the best. Aww. And thank you so much for doing this and for, you know, sort of, I think even in another way, you're bringing the Janet family even closer together. So thank you for this.
No problem. Thank you so much, Kara. I really do appreciate this. You have been nothing but sweet to me.
Fantastic. So that is Mr. Filmmaker Junior Hubbard. Again, make sure to check out his Kickstarter campaign to donate if you can, kickstarter.com, and then you would just search J-Tribe, JanFam, The Movement, and you can go to Facebook as well and leave him messages, again, searching J-Tribe, JanFam, The Movement.
There are times when I look up times when I feel your love around me, baby. I'll never forget my baby. I'll never forget you.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
We always appreciate you spending time with us on the Kelly Alexander Show, and a big thank you going out to my guests this week, Mike Litherland and Junior Hubbard. Here is your thought-provoking quote of the week, this time coming from Mahatma Gandhi. An eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media, on Twitter, at K Alexander Show, on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show, on Instagram, at Kelly Alexander Show, and of course our YouTube channel, which features our interviews, youtube.com/Kelly Alexander Show. Have an awesome week. You and I'll chat soon.